Penguin Random House Audio presents This Is So Awkward, Modern Puberty Explained. Written and read by Cara Natterson, MD, and Vanessa Kroll Bennett. This is Cara Natterson.
To our kids, the best teachers we've ever had. Without you, we wouldn't laugh nearly as much about puberty or anything else in life. And to our invaluable interns, congratulations on being published authors. Samson Bennett, Bear Bennett, Amanda Bortner, Teddy Kavanaugh, Peggy Hellman, Isabella Huang, Talia Natterson, Ryan Natterson, Katie Summers, and Rebecca Sugarman. 10 slightly shocking facts about modern puberty. Number 1. The average kid starts puberty more than 2 years earlier than they did a generation ago, and puberty takes much longer. It now lasts almost a decade. Number 2. The brain doesn't finish maturing until early adulthood, leaving a huge gap between body maturation, starting at around 8 or 9, and smart decision-making, fully in place between 25 to 30 years old. Number 3. Body image issues fueled by social media have skyrocketed. Well over half of all tweens and teens report having them, with guys affected just as much as girls. Number 4. 20% of all people in the United States who identify as transgender are between 13 and 17 years old. Number 5. Rates of vaginal intercourse in high school are down, but anal sex is up. Number 6. 50% of all males will develop breast buds during puberty, but most of those buds disappear after a while. Number 7. Bye-bye, pads and tampons. Today's period products of choice include menstrual cups and period underwear. Number 8. Millennials and Gen Zers of all genders are much more likely than boomers and Gen Xers to perform major landscaping to their pubic hair by shaving it, waxing it, or permanently lasering it, sometimes all off. Number 9. The average age of first exposure to porn is 12 years old for boys and not much later for girls. Number 10. Data from 2021 shows that 40% of all high school students reported feeling persistently sad or hopeless. It's even higher among females at 60%, and LGBTQ+ kids at 70%. Introduction. All adults are survivors of puberty. But for most of us, the scabs of our memories feel bizarrely fresh even decades later. My stomach still turns at the thought of getting my first period in borrowed blush ballet tights. No, they were not returned to their rightful owner. And Cara still winces when she flashes back to her brother's repeated taunts. "You're so flat, the walls are jealous." For those of us who traveled through puberty before 1990 or so, it started sometime around age 11 for most and lasted 3 or 4 years, tops, even though it felt like a lifetime. The puberty of the past bears little resemblance to what kids live through today. Now this transformation starts younger, takes longer, and unfurls with social media and cell phones in the mix. What used to be a sometimes painful and sometimes laughable, but mostly cringy middle school dash has become a slog lasting many years. Many, like twice as many. That's especially true when puberty is defined in its broadest sense. Strictly speaking, puberty is the path to sexual maturity, ultimately enabling a person to reproduce. In genetic females, this covers everything from breast growth to getting the menstrual cycle up and running. In genetic males, the penis and testicles convert into sperm production and delivery machines. But in reality, puberty extends far beyond groins and breasts, partially because the hormones in charge also affect distant organs, like the skin and bones, and partially because those same hormones circulate around the brain, profoundly impacting one's emotional and social existence. This explains why puberty is credited, or blamed, for everything from hair sprouting up across the body, to pungent odors making their debut, to reckless decision-making, to eye rolls so deep it's not entirely clear the pupils will come back into view. Moodiness does not make a person reproductively capable, nor do zits or growth spurts or any of the rest of it. But they result from hormonal shifts and turn out to be humongous players in the life experience of kids this age. This is why we define puberty broadly, including sexual maturation for sure, but also all of the other shifts that happen in and around the body on account of the hormonal surges that lend themselves to sexual maturation. In this more expansive definition of modern puberty, we've essentially equated it with adolescence, which is precisely what the entire world seems to do anyway. It's this whole kettle of fish that's taking longer. Body changes, emotional shifts, and friend dramas too. It's also why we wrote a book offering information and guidance to help make sense of this seemingly endless, awkward roller coaster ride. Puberty gets a bad rap for many reasons, but one of the biggest is that a pubescent child is not a sweet baby anymore. When they start to stink and whine and make choices that baffle us, they are also moving away from being cuddly and dependent. Don't be fooled. Tweens and teens still need their adults to love and support them, maybe more than they ever did. Living through puberty can be confusing, uncomfortable, and scary. Kids need information and reassurance. They need love and affection. Even the silent ones want an open space to ask questions. The purpose of this book is to define the new normal and offer language for some of the hundreds of tiny conversations that have replaced the talk of yore. Starting with chapter 3, there are 4 parts to each chapter in this book. The science of puberty and what's happening in the body, how things have changed over the past few generations, how to talk about all of this stuff, and what older kids have to say. These youth voices of wisdom are a peek into how today's kids think, what they experience, and what they need. Storytelling from kids recently out the other side to help avoid painfully awkward moments. Lest you think that we've got this caring for kids through puberty thing in the bag, we've got news for you. Yes, Kara is a pediatrician and I'm a puberty educator, but we are also parents who have blown it more times than we can count. Our hard-earned knowledge comes not just from 2 decades of working with kids and their caregivers, but also from being in the trenches with our own families. It's living both sides of the coin that has evolved us into true experts. The most important lesson we have to offer is this. Guiding kids is easier when we give ourselves permission to not know everything, to screw up occasionally, and to get a grip on this new world order. It works better when we separate what they're going.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?